time a person is a resident in the state. Now, I agree with the first idea that you say that you require that a person be a resident of the state for 1 year to qualify, but why not put a requirement on his ability to obtain title to the property that he has to be a resident of the state for, say, 8 years or 10 years? Now, that means that a person who's been a resident of the state for five, he's got five to go. A person who's been a resident for 10, he's already covered. The newcomer has to be a resident for whatever length of time we set. But if you set it long enough, he's either going to do two things. He's going to give up that land because he's already tired of Alaska, or he's going to get through that. If he gets through that, he's probably going to be in Alaska, and it's going to be passed on to his sons and daughters and so forth. And I think that would give a better opportunity for that land to remain in the title of Alaskans. And it would best serve the future in that those lands that didn't pass that and reverted back to the state could then be reused for a new person who wants to homestead. And I think it would give us a chance to cover one of those problems that was a result of our old Homesteading Act. I think that's basically 2 points. I'm in favor of homesteading being exactly what the word says, a place where a person can have a home and he can develop a method of cutting his cost of living and have an Alaskan experience. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. At this time, I would like to make note that we have got quite a few participants that have arrived who would like to speak. So if at this point you could keep your comments concise and to the point. We do want to hear all of your views on the issue, but please keep them concise and to the point. We will go to Fairbanks this time and take our next witness, Lyndon Funk, and if you could please state your name for the record.
I'm Lyndon Funk from Fairbanks. For the record, I came here to Alaska June 9, 1940 and filed on a homestead in 1941, February. I know all the problems and backaches and heartaches that are connected with homesteading. I developed that homestead, and I've been involved in agriculture all the years that I've been here. I know what it takes, and I know that Alaska can produce 90% of their food here in the state instead of shipping in 90% of the food from outside. Our land disposal program should address, have that in mind, that Alaska become self-sufficient in food production. Now, let's do comments on the various bills that are in the legislature. I have read them all. I have looked up the statutes that are covered in, mentioned in Bill, House Bill number 130. My recommendation is we absolutely do not want that Bill 130 passed as a homestead bill. They speak of Alaska Statutes 3805057, not to exceed 320 acres. Those provisions are covered in the land disposal system known as the lottery system. Alaska Statute 3805-07, I looked that up, and those provisions are covered in the land disposal by lease or public auction, and we do not want those regulations tied into a homestead bill because those programs are already covered. I would like to see the homestead bill, maybe perhaps divided into those who want land for a garden, like the man that just spoke previous to me. Someone that wants a small acreage, he should be entitled to get that, but hold his acreage allotment to the size of acreage that he can handle, and those who want to farm for a living, like myself, I know what's involved in farming. That should he should have a chance to get 320 acres and farm it, and clear it, and do whatever is necessary. And it can 320 acres can be an economically feasible agricultural unit if it's managed properly. 160 60 acres or even 80 acres if you're not interested in livestock. If you want row crop, potatoes, carrots, rutabagas, what have you, 80 acres would be all a man could handle, and he could make a very good living on that acreage. So with the, I'm in favor of House Bill 167. That has some good provisions, and since those two bills are the ones that are addressed here today, well, I'll hold my comments to those. I would like to see an amendment in 167 so that a family or a person, homestead applicant, could get 320 acres. Also make it applicable that a husband and wife can get each 320 acres if they feel that they can handle that acreage, and put stipulations in there that they do handle it, or they don't get title to it. They have to meet certain requirements. One other suggestion I would like to make is someone who has been a resident of Alaska for perhaps born and raised here in Alaska, and they're now in the military service. It would be very beneficial to them if provisions were made to take it, if they have maintained a residency here in the state, that they could obtain some land under that homestead entry system, and perhaps let some of their military service time apply on the resident requirements, as long as they met some of the other requirements. That would be very beneficial to the state and to the individual. In regards to House Bill 130, where the title to the land has reservations for roads and trails, I definitely would like to see those trails and roads maintained on the section lines, and not be able to have a bunch of trails cutting up a man's farm all the any direction that they want to go. Here in the Fairbanks area, we have snow machine trails and dog team trails out through the wilderness. I can appreciate these dog mushers, their idea of being able to go where they please. It would be no hardship on them if they had to go follow the section lines. They could get where they wanted to go and still be out in the wilderness. That'd be fine, but definitely they should be held to section line easements. So with those comments, I'll have some more comments when the Senate bills are, and the other two bills are brought up for discussion. But for now, that suffices for what I have to say. And thank you very much for allowing me your time to be here. One other comment, though. Why was this meeting is scheduled for the middle of the afternoon on the work day? Now, I contacted a lot of people that would have liked to have been here, but they were unable to get here because of their work schedule. In the future, if you could have your meetings in the evening or on Saturday when more people could testify, it would be a benefit to them, and you would get a good deal more input into your homesteading program or whatever, land disposal program. Thank you very much.
Yeah, this is John Ringstam. The reason it's scheduled in the middle of the afternoon for a work day is because 3 to 5 here in Juneau is when the Resources Committee normally meets. If there is enough interest for people wanting to testify before us at another time, then we are open to the possibility of scheduling one of those at a later date.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your comment. This time we'll go to Matt Sue and take the next person, Tom Pittman, and please state your name for the record. Please do all participants keep your comments concise and to the point.
Thank you. I'm Tom Pittman. I live in Palmer. I have a couple comments on bills. Number one, I would support the idea of the National Survey to establish rectangular survey section corners before the land being available for entry. That's spoken to in House Bill 167. Secondly, I'd like to see that recording provisions are addressed properly, and that recording be required in the boroughs or municipalities in which the lands are located. Thirdly, the question of providing for some type of future road system or access system through the parcels before patenting should also be included in there. That should help prevent any parcels of land from becoming landlocked. The provisions in Bill 167, where the lands that may have been selected by the boroughs or municipalities could be put up for lands in these homesteading situations, needs to be addressed. There are many lands selected that are just in selection status that are also that also have final decisions for approval for patenting at a later date, but which are not patented at this time. The way the bills read at this time seem to allow these open for being withdrawn from the municipalities and put up for homesteading. Basically, that's it, other than one other comment that I feel personally, and that is I would like to see homesteading bills such as this not be reserved to only agricultural interests in the state. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. We'd like to go on to Cordova and give Crystal McEwen an opportunity to speak, and please state your name for the record.
Dora, this is the moderator in Cordova. I'd like to add at this time that if I don't have a machine to send you names, I do have two more people here who would like to testify. Would you like me to give their names right now?
Yes, please.
The first one is Brooke Adkinson. It's B-R-O-O-K-E, capital A-D-K-I-N-S-O-N.
Go ahead.
The second person is Marla Adkinson, M-A-R-L-A, capital A-D-K-I-N-S.
Thank you very much. And I would like to remind all participants in this time, please do keep your comments concise and to the point. We have quite a few people who would like to testify and may not be able to listen to everyone if you do not keep your comments concise. Go ahead, please, Crystal.
My name is Crystal McKeon, and I feel the idea of homesteading is different from buying land or developing land, and in itself, it should not be full of regulations. Any bill, well, I can't support one over the other because I don't have the other two, but it shouldn't be cluttered up with a lot of things that are already existed in the state land disposal programs, the remote parcels, and the agricultural. I feel that the serious homesteaders will go out and they want to be able to make a life on their land. They're not going to be able to drive back and forth to town to work. They're not going to be able to hold down a job while as you're living in a town. I think that the person, if they do prove up on their homestead and everything, they should receive all rights to the land after patent, the surface, the subsurface, and the water rights. The amount of development should reduce the cost. If more development would reduce the cost of the acreage, I think that there should be at least a three-year residency requirement. I think that you should be able to sell your property in 10 years after patent or subdivide in 15. I think that the people who are already leasing or under application for remote or state land should be able to relinquish it to the state in favor of a homestead. And if they are making payments to the state for that parcel, they should be able to apply 50% of the money already paid to the homestead price. I do favor the 3 5-month out of the 7 years, and I agree that they should be 1 month or 12 months consecutive. And I'd like to bring up that we did look into the remote parcels, and the state-approved surveyors can cost a fortune. They're more or less a rip-off. We were told that 100 acres surveyed, it was going to cost us $7,000, and that's if we brushed out the boundaries ourselves and did most of their work, and this didn't include room and board transportation. So I think that they should be better set up or have other arrangements made instead of going to commercial surveyors. I don't think that you should have to lease your land for $10 an acre per year. Not if you're living on it and improving it. I think that you should be able to receive a state loan if you're qualified to meet the surveying costs. This is after a period of 5 years. If you have lived on the land 5 months a year out of the 5 years, built a dwelling and so forth. I think that the people about the zoning and the regulations and the people who want the homeowners associations, I think there's enough land available already in subdivisions through the state land disposals where all of this is available. I think that you can tell the difference between serious homesteaders and people who just want to develop the land for future subdivisions by the fact that they'll be living on the land. You can go there after a period of a couple of years and see who would stay and who would not. I think that I do favor a percentage of the land having to be cleared, and I don't think it should be cleared for like a set use, so I think it should be able to go for garden, woodlot, whatever, management of your own property, and that's about it. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. At this time, we'll go to Homer and take testimony from Paul Craig, and please state your name for the record.
Well, my name is Paul Craig. I reside in Homer, Alaska. I would like to make a brief comment about HB 130, specifically relating to section 38.09.020B, in which it states that an individual who has leased land under the remote parcel program during the past 8 years would not be eligible. And in my own case, I've leased 2.5 acres adjacent to my wife's 5 acres, and that land would be quite appropriate for a remote cabin to go to stay in as a recreational type getaway. Would not be appropriate for a subsistence type lifestyle. There'd be no way on that particular piece of land to actually go and live remotely on a permanent basis. And I think that there are many other people in similar situations, and I would strongly argue against having that particular requirement or regulation as part of the law. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. At this time, we will go once again to Gus Davis, and if Larry Tong would like to speak, go ahead and state your name for the record. Gus Davis, are you online? Robin in Seattle, is Gus Davis still connected with the bridge? Hearing no response, I'm going to go back to Fairbanks and call Michael Martin, and please state your name for the record.
This is Linda, the moderator. Michael Martin has declined to speak, and another one of our people, Joseph Thorne, has left. May we hear from Lisa Jagger at this time?
Yes, we may. Go ahead, Lisa. Please state your name for the record.
This is Lisa Jagger speaking, and I'm representing the Tananaw Chiefs Conference. And we have 43 communities in our region, and it's the largest Native region in the state. I'm going to follow this little presentation up with a letter because I don't want to take up a great amount of time with the number of people here to speak. But I'd like to say that we have a great deal of experience with the homes, with not just homestead bill idea, but with the land disposal program in general. I've been to all of our communities holding public meetings, on the subject of state lands and what's happening with state lands and what the people would like to see happen with state lands, as well as going to all the public hearing, or the majority of them, that DNR holds on specific land disposal. So we have a pretty good deal of experience, and we not only hear from Native people in our region, we also hear from white people in our region. So I'm not just speaking on behalf of a certain segment of the community. We see all of the community at these public meetings. One of our great concerns is that a lot of times people think that there's a great deal of land out there and we should just be able to be getting it into the hands of private citizens as fast as possible. I'd like to point out that you probably already are aware that a lot of the state land is already being used in some way or another to support a communities, rural communities, economically in hunting activities, wood gathering, trapping, and so forth. A lot of the state land is tied up and is there, our communities are economically dependent on great segments and great acreage of state land. Another of our major concerns is that we just don't want to see a homestead bill that would be giving away great amounts of state land without substantial sweat equity. It is land that does belong to the general public, and giving it away without sweat equity would only encourage speculation on it. We have people that live in our state now as well as future generations to think of. I'm just going to go through a few specifics that might help to discourage pure speculation. To start with, an application fee we feel should be fairly substantial. I don't know how much it actually costs DNR to process an application, but you might look at that figure to help you give it, have a better idea on how much you should charge for an application fee. $500 may be realistic. We would like to see residency requirements. We don't have a specific preference for either of the House bills. It's easy for people to just kind of fake that one, so we'd like to see residency requirements, but we hope you don't rely heavily on that to discourage speculation, because it's not a foolproof way of doing that. We favor a permanent structure being built and a survey, and I know it would be very difficult for somebody to go out there and have to pay for a survey, which is expensive, especially if it's located far away from a benchmark or from urban community, and build a permanent structure and land there within a short period of time. However, we encourage that sort of thing, because if you allow too long a period of time to go on before someone has to actually prove up or do these things, you're going to tie that land up for an extremely, you know, longer period of time, and that will not allow other people to go into that same land and enter, or just tie our land up and then have it be returned. And Division of Lands has a hard enough time keeping track of what it's doing with its land. So we would encourage a shorter time frame for permanent structure, survey, and land clearing. Under land clearings, if there's going to be a homestead bill that allows agriculture entry as well as just surface entry, like Representative Ewing's bill would, we would just encourage land clearing on agriculture entry and not on just surface entry. You might as well just call a spade, and if you're just getting the surface, you might as well not have a land clearing requirement and just have that land be laying fallow. So as far as land clearing requirement on the agriculture entry, we would favor about 25%, which is your basic 40 acres, and I assume that the people would be supplying their own mule. But we agree with House Bill 130 in that there shouldn't be a similar entry within previous 8 years. That would probably allow just people that were really serious and interested in homesteading and really have a better need than someone that already has a similar piece of land. Other recommendations we would like to make, and I'm not real familiar with the easement statutes that would apply, but we'd like to see provisions for easements such as trapline and transportation trails. and there should be adequate public input allowed into that process. We feel that there should be maximum acreage of 160 acres for agriculture entry, and there should be some sort of soil stipulation, such as class 2 to 3 soil on it. If it's going to be an agriculture entry, we would really encourage a soil stipulation. If it's just going to be a surface entry, we would encourage just a 40-acre limit on that with no clearing requirement. And we would also encourage that there would be no subdivision of that land for some period of time. I don't know if 10 years or a less period of time is more realistic after patent, but that would definitely also discourage speculation and would put the land into people that were interested in living on it and working with it. And then last but not least by any means, we really feel strongly that the program should fall under existing classification process covered by statutes 3804.06 through 3804.07. And I would really like to see this program covered under the protection of those statutes. Those would allow public input at least and some notice requirements. If it's not umbrellaed under some sort of process like that, the whole state land process is going to end up with a situation where the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. If you have all kinds of land programs going on that aren't covered under an umbrella law or under at least these classification statutes, it could really discourage overhaul comprehensive planning. Like I said, start with, I'm going to follow this up with a letter to each member of the Resources Committee. Thanks very much for allowing me to make those comments.
Thank you very much for taking your time. And we'd like to go to Matsu at this time and give, I believe the name is Eric Bloss, an opportunity to speak. And please state your name for the record.
Hi there, I'm still Eric Bloss, and I've read both of the House bills that we're considering today that we're concerned with. Of the two, I believe House Bill 130 was written in language and with conditions and stipulations that aren't considered of the homestead idea. Therefore, I would personally support House Bill 167, and I believe all of the conditions, as far as the designation to the land, the entry permits, the issuance of patent, and the revocation of entry permits, are all practical and in the best interest of the state and individuals in which these homesteads are granted. Of the two House bills and two Senate bills now in their resources committees at this point, of all, I would most support Senate Bill 102, it being more related to the homestead being agriculturally based, and that would encourage sweat equity, and the equity would not only improve the state and ensure that the homesteader would remain here and improve his own land, it would also improve the local economies and the whole state and national economy. And I personally am interested in getting a homestead, and I would not mind putting the sweat equity into an agricultural quarter section. That would encourage me to improve upon my life and the lives of others. As it is now, we're only concerned with the House bills, and so I maintain that House Bill 167 is preferable of the two, and I thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you very much for coming down to speak. We'll go on to Cordova and take our next witness, Mike Logue, I believe it is, and would you please state your name for the record?
My name is Mike Logue, and I've lived in Cordova for 16 years, and I've also seen people move in and out of Alaska, so I don't believe that people that live here for only a short amount of time should go out and get land, because they leave just as soon as they can make a profit and spend it somewhere else. And I don't think if Alaska wants to develop itself, it should give land to people who take the money elsewhere. And I believe that the state should give some assistance to homesteaders, because it is expensive to survey the land, get out there, even if there's roads or not. Because most of the rural parcels, there is no way to get to them except by plane. And that could be costly, getting all your stuff out there. I think maybe they ought to set up a program where they can assist the homesteaders, give them like 50% loan or something like that. And after 10 years or so, I also think that if they want the right to sell their land, I think they have to, but serious homesteaders, I don't think, will leave after 10 years. I think they'll stay there and develop their land the way they want to, and I think they ought to have the right to do that too, and Alaska shouldn't have no say in how they should develop the land that they pick. I guess that's about it.
Thank you very much for your comments. This time we'll go back to Fairbanks and give Linda Jackson an opportunity to speak, and please state your name for the record.
I'm Linda Jackson, and I was born and raised here in Fairbanks. I have a little bit of laryngitis, so please excuse that. I am looking at the bills here, and I don't favor the one bill, 130, because of the lottery system and the option that's stipulated in that. But I do am in more favor of Bill 167, because I'm in favor of promoting the work ethic here, that a person can go out and get a homestead and not have to have a certain amount of money and a lot of regulations on them, and that they can, through their work and their effort, make something and not be discouraged and end up on welfare. I think this would encourage people to get up and use their effort to have a place of their own, even become more self-sufficient, and so I'm in favor of this bill, 167.
Thank you very much for your comments. We'll go back to Cordova and give Brooke Atkinson an opportunity to speak, and please state your name for the record.
Hello, my name is Brooke Atkinson. Yeah, I came to Alaska when it was a territory. As a child of a bush teachers, we traveled pretty much all through the state, a year here, a year there, 2 years here, on Kodiak and on up in Kenai Peninsula area, on up in the Yukon area. So we covered bases. We've been to Fairbanks. We had a homestead there years ago. We moved down to Cordova here, and I myself, my dad got some land through the homestead thing there. And now they cut that off. Guys like me, I made arrangements with my folks to get land. So what I want to say here is I pay for land at $1 a square foot if I try and get it. Through old homesteads, it's people who moved outside, and then you get other people moving in, look them up, and then they buy them and they're subdividing. Well, this, you know, kind of ruins the whole idea. I think the idea is to, we're going to have homestead in the first place, which I don't really agree with, because I see a lot of wide open spaces going to be cut down into little sections where you didn't have any trespassing signs. I'm a hunter and a fisherman, and I traveled, I cover a lot of country, and you're going to start cutting it up here and there. That's fine for people who are serious about it. I'm talking, I agree with the five-year basis that you have to live on the 5 years, at least 5 months out of the year. I myself have to come into town to work, usually during fishing season, that's what happens around here, to make a living to be able to live there the rest of the year. But I'm serious, I live it 5 months. But sometimes it takes 7 months to make an income on a low thing. You're talking about $500 here for an entry fee. Well, I know of a lot of people who live on these outer edges who live there for years and love that style of life who couldn't come up with $500. That's their whole year's supply of groceries right there, except for, you know, they live off country meat and they grow their vegetables and stuff, but you're talking about basics. And that's pretty thin when you figure, well, I spent this last 2 years in Anchorage saving up enough money to buy resources so I could move back out. So most people who want to move into this thing are going to need all the money they can get. So to be able to move out here. So I don't know if I agree with the $500. I can see it as far as the processing goes, but I don't know if I really agree with it. We need a limit, though, on how much land is going to be given out beforehand and spread out in areas so that there is big parcels of whether government land or whatever around it so that people have room to breathe out there. I come to town once a month, maybe once every 3 months. I just happen to hit this one just right. And this is the style of lifestyle, that's good for a lot of people, you know. I think the basis of the United States itself was raised from that concept itself. That's where you get all the, you have to do everything yourself, so you have to be innovative. So, yeah, thank you.
Does that conclude your testimony?
Yeah, I have one more further comment. I think there does need to be a time limit set of 10 to 15 years or so before the land can be subdivided and sold out. And we need some kind of stronger regulations. Right where, I know from a personal account of myself, I've seen where land where a guy got 5 acres, got patent to it, but he was never checked on. He's never been there all the years that I've lived right next door to him. Been there too. He's got an old house that's about dilapidated now. It's fallen down. He gets friends of friends who come out there to hunt once a year and bang up the forest around us, shooting at nothing because there's nothing there. But that's beside the point. So we need stricter regulations if you're going to be doing this. I would like to get land available for people like me who are trying to make, you know, I agree with the concept if we're going to do it for that purpose. But if we're going to have speculators, then I don't agree with the purpose at all. We need laws to stringently place emphasis on that. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. We're going to go back to Fairbanks. I would like to once again remind everyone that we're coming very close to the end of the teleconference. We do want to try to hear everyone, so please keep your comments concise and to the point. In Fairbanks, we have Gail Funk, and please state your name for the record.
My name is Gail Funk, and I've lived in Alaska for 25 years or so. Short and to the point, I do not believe that House Bill number 130 is a homesteading bill. It's a lottery bill. I agree more with the House Bill number 167 and what it states. And that's all I have to say.
Good.
Thank you very much. And we'll go back to Cordova and give Marla Atkins an opportunity to speak. Please state your name for the record.
This is the moderator in Cordova. Marla had to take off. She may be back before 3. If you could perhaps check with us one more time right before 3. She may be back by then.
Thank you, Heather. We will try to check back with you. We're going to go on to Fairbanks and have Ellen I hope I pronounced the name right, Kupas, and please state your name for the record.
The name is Ellen Kupiak. I've been in Fairbanks for about 10, 12 years now, and I have been following the legislature quite a bit on this. Bill 130 is not a Homestead Act. It is not the purpose. Its correct purpose is not that at all. I'm very much against number 130. On Bill 167, it would be good to have uses of the land various. Agriculture, gardening, for different purposes, and different sizes of use according to what it's used for. And I would also like to see or find out where we can get information on the state of Alaska, on the uses of the lands and what they are now. What's federal, what is state land, and where the possibilities are, would be at for the homesteading. Thank you very much.
You could probably get some of that information from the Division of Lands office there in Fairbanks. That would be the best bet at this point.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And if Mary Bishop would please go to the microphone and state your name for the record.
Good afternoon. My name is Mary Bishop. I'm representing myself. I am a strong supporter of small-scale farming ventures, such as we see along the Chena Hot Springs Road here and other areas peripheral to Fairbanks. I do believe that 160 acres is quite sufficient, especially if husband, wife, or business partners are able to get adjacent 160-acre parcels. My greatest fear, I am especially skeptical of geographically scattered homestead and agriculture endeavors as opposed to clustered development. Specifically, my concerns are that you would address a number of issues that I see addressed more often in Senate Bill 43 than in the other bills. First, public access and trails. Currently, Senate Bill 43 on page 6 protects section line easements. I don't think the other bills protect at all. 43 protects the easements only if the section line goes to public and navigable waters. Nothing indicates protection for access to private or public lands, and who at this time knows what is a navigable water? All section lines should have public easements, even if it goes to a rock wall. Public access must also be maintained on historic trails, like our old mail routes, the winter haul roads, and trails between communities. Modern trails should be recognized and investigated, and of course, reasonable rerouting the trail is certainly acceptable. There should be recognition that conflicts with trapline trails are going to occur. The fur industry is of considerable economic value in Alaska. It brings in $5 to $10 million per year, is nowhere near peak capacity, and believe it or not, receives virtually no subsidy from the state government. I suggest that lands of substantial fur value be closed to large acreage homesteading unless it's obvious that the agricultural potential is greater. My second concern involves wildlife conflicts, especially competition for food, disease, predation, and skin contamination. Wild sheep populations have been completely decimated in certain localities of the lower 48 and Canada due to disease contracted from domestic cows, goats, sheep, and/or competition for food. We must not allow agricultural development or grazing leases on lands adjacent to wild sheep habitats if we want to keep those wild sheep